And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the Christian legacy of King Alfred the Great. The Christian legacy of King Alfred the Great. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard of King Alfred the Great. I've heard his name for years, but until I began working on this new documentary on the True Christian History of America, the object of which is not to just go and, in this film, we're not going to just go in and try and just argue about the Christian elements that are here in America and have been from the time of the colonies. Certainly that'll be part of it. But what I think is an even more important thing to do is to reclaim the history and the legacy of Christian liberty throughout history, and the fact that all of the elements of what we know of as the free world today, these core elements were developed by the grace of God through Christian people, through the laws of God, through knowledge of the Holy Scripture. What we're going to talk about today, where King Alfred is concerned, a very interesting aspect of his history. There is something called the Dooms of Alfred, the Dooms of King Alfred the Great. The Dooms of Alfred, basically the word doom in the old world was another word for law or judgment. So the Dooms of Alfred would be the laws or the judgments of King Alfred. And what they were, Alfred, who was a warrior king, he was a soldier king, and he fought many battles against the Viking invaders who had invaded the land now known as England today. But Alfred becomes the first king of England because he united the tribes there, the people there, and defeated these Danish Viking invaders. Some people are probably familiar with the History Channel's series they have called The Vikings. And it's gone on for several years, and it's a great dramatization showing this period in history. Now, I'm not going to vouch for all the details that they're giving. That I can't do. But the fact that the Vikings were invading the Christian world in Anglo-Saxon territory, and that there were all of these conflicts and ongoing battles that spanned close to 30 years, really more than 30 years, and the heathen Vikings claimed much of the territory of the Anglo-Saxon people. And it wasn't until King Alfred came along that Christian people were able to defeat the Vikings. They couldn't figure out how to beat these guys because they were mighty warriors. And so it's not until King Alfred comes along that all of that changes, but it didn't change all at once. Alfred had to fight many battles. In fact, there's an article, a presentation, like a PowerPoint slide presentation with images that you can find online on King Alfred the Great by Dr. Peter Hammond. He says this, quote, "For most of Alfred's 30 years reign, he was a soldier king who led his people in a desperate war for survival. Alfred personally commanded in 54 pitched battles, frequently fighting against overwhelming odds. In just the first 5 months of 870, Alfred fought 9 pitched battles against the Danish Vikings. He was defeated at Reading," says Alfred was defeated at Reading, "and a few days later turned his defeat into victory at Ashdown. The Battle of Ashdown in January 874 was critically important." And it said there's a history of this done by Winston Churchill, who wrote a history of the English speaking peoples. Now, this is something that I want to get a copy of because I've not read this before. But Winston Churchill's History of the English-Speaking People, he talks about King Alfred and his importance. And he says, quote, "The results of this victory did not break the power of the Danish army. In a fortnight, they were again in the field." A fortnight is 2 weeks. "In a fortnight, they were again in the field, but the Battle of Ashdown justly takes its place among the historic encounters because of the greatness of the issue. If the West Saxons had been beaten, all England would have sunk into heathen anarchy." So it's almost like the Battle of Ashdown was almost like the Battle of Vienna or the Battle of Tours, when the Muslims tried to invade Western Europe, and they were pushed back on those two occasions. They were pushed back on a number of different occasions, but they were pushed back. And as a result, the Western world would continue to grow and develop as a Christian civilization rather than being forcibly converted to Islam. And so Winston Churchill is saying at the Battle of Ashdown, if Alfred the Great had lost that battle, then all England would have sunk into heathen anarchy, as he says. He says, quote, "Since they were victorious, the hope still burned for a civilized Christian existence in this island. This was the first time the invaders had been beaten in the field. The last of the Saxon kingdoms had withstood the assault upon it. Alfred had made the Saxons feel confidence in themselves again. They could hold their own in an open fight. The story of this conflict at Ashdown was, for generations, a treasured memory of the Saxon writers. It was Alfred's first battle." So you can see that the Vikings were just dominating everywhere until Alfred comes along. And this is his first battle. He ends up winning against these invaders. And now the Saxons, they have a renewed hope. But as we said earlier, going back to Dr. Hammond's review, Alfred the Great fought in some 54 battles in total from 870 AD. This is the 9th century, 870 AD, all the way to the year 896. And so this is 26 years of conflict against these Viking marauders, and they were Danish Vikings that had invaded, and they're going on raids, and they're taking over towns and cities and this kind of thing, taking treasure, etc., and dominating the people, killing lots of people. And so, literally, Alfred the Great shows up. They have no choice. They're fighting for their homeland, just as people all over the world. You know, we hear these stories today by these modern Marxist professors and teachers and so on about the founding of America. And it was unfair because there was conflict, and the Christian Puritans and Pilgrims came in and took the land from the Indians and all this other kind of stuff, which is misrepresented. I've talked about this before. It's often misrepresented. But where did the Indians get the land? If you research the history, the Indians defeated other tribes to take the territories that they had. This is just how history has unfolded everywhere on the earth. Any country you go to, there were pitched battles that went on for generations, and people fought over land and territory and power and authority and all the rest of it. And somebody wins and somebody loses, and then nations are established as a result. And the history of England is no different. But King Alfred now, he's got to defeat this enemy. He's got to put the enemy down and drive him out of the land. And it took him more than 20 years to do it. More than 20 years to do it. Studying King Alfred, and I think he's a very important character study. I've been for the past couple of years studying these great Christian leaders who were men of honor, great men of faith, and also men of war. The Bible says the Lord is a man of war. Revelation 19:11, when Jesus returns, says, "In righteousness doth he judge and make war." And we're often given the impression that Christianity is supposed to be pacifistic, but that's not really the case in the Bible if we consider the whole counsel of God. And in the history of Christianity and the church, we find one great military hero after another. I've talked about men like Ziska, John Ziska. He's a great character study. Then, of course, you have Oliver Cromwell and his Puritan army. You have Gustavus Adolphus, another great, the King of Sweden. And we have to understand, brethren, these are all men deeply convicted by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they had no wavering about whether or not Christianity was the only true faith, and that Jesus Christ was the King of Kings, and that Christian civilization must prevail. And they believed that it would. And they saw themselves fighting for the cause of Christ and the preaching of the gospel. Because if the heathen, if the unbelievers gain the upper hand and they dominate, then they typically banish or abolish the preaching or spreading of the gospel. That's typically what happens. And so Alfred the Great, he's another one of these great leaders who was a king, a soldier, a scholar, and a Christian man. And so when he develops the dooms of Alfred, which we talked about earlier, the judgments or the laws of his kingdom, he based the laws on the Ten Commandments, it is said, combining them with the Sermon on the Mount. So the severity of law combined with the mercy preached by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And I'm still digging into this and getting more and more details. Right now, I am guessing that his thinking was that what inspired him is what Jesus said to the Pharisees, where he said to the Pharisees that they paid tithe of mint and rue, but they had forsaken the weightier matters of the law, mercy and compassion, and that is very likely what inspired King Alfred the Great. And he is, the more you study him, he's just a great hero of history. In fact, there's an article online from a number of years ago at historytoday.com, and the headline says, quote, "Alfred the Great, the most perfect man in history?" Question mark. Why? Because there are some who have studied King Alfred and everything that he did. I mean, he would become the founder of public education for English-speaking people. He wanted his kingdom, the common people in his kingdom, to learn how to read and write so they could read the Bible, so they could understand the laws of God. And he did many other things besides, which we're going to talk about when we come back from our break right after this.
Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we are talking about the Christian legacy of King Alfred the Great. We'd probably do a whole bunch of shows on this because there's so much information about King Alfred. And he really was just a great hero in Christian history. In fact, I want to read something. This is a bronze plaque that you can find online that records the memory of King Alfred. And here's what it says. It says this, quote, "Alfred the Great, the West Saxon king, born at Wantage, AD 849. Alfred found learning dead and he restored it. Education neglected and he revived it. The laws powerless, and he gave them force. The church debased, and he raised it. The land ravaged by a fearful enemy, from which he delivered it. Alfred's name will live as long as mankind shall respect the past." That's pretty powerful. His name shall stand as long as mankind respects the past. Well, we know what's going on right now. We've got the Marxists who are rewriting history. Karl Marx is often quoted for saying, quote, "The first battlefield is the rewriting of history. Take away the heritage of a people and they are easily destroyed." And this is certainly what's happening throughout the Western world. We see it happening in our country, trying to destroy the Christian history and heritage of our nation. And it's happening over in Great Britain, brethren. In fact, if you go online, there's another article about King Alfred. It says, "King Alfred was not so great." Words to that effect. It reminds me, when I saw it, of what people say about America. Well, America was never great. That's a T-shirt or a hat that some people have worn during the Trump campaign. Trump is promoting Make America Great Again, and then those on the left say, no, America was never great. America was this horrible country and all this other kind of stuff. Well, it appears they're trying to do the same thing to King Alfred in some circles. because they want to undermine his influence and his significance and try to diminish it because they know he was a great Christian king and his laws were based on the laws of God, rightly so. And I'm discovering, I've never found this before, brethren, I'm doing more research into it, but it appears that King Alfred is the father of what I would call the English concept of the militia. We have the ongoing debate in our country about the Second Amendment, where we have the phrase a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. We can trace that whole concept back to King Alfred. Back to King Alfred, because what happened was he spent more than 20 years fighting against these Viking invaders who would just literally storm the land, show up out of nowhere, and come rushing into your town, into your village, and just slaughter people and grab treasure and everything else. And so how to put a stop to this? Well, after Alfred defeated the Vikings, what he did was he set up a series of forts all over his kingdom. And he made sure that all of the common people were armed and ready at all times, so that if they were called to battle, they could report for battle at a moment's notice. They would be ready to go. And this became the standard in England. We are getting ready to release here in the next, probably next week, we're going to release a new audio CD called The Saints and the Second Amendment, The Christian History of the Right to Bear Arms, or The Christian Origins of the Right to Bear Arms. So, and we're going to show how Christianity very directly affected what began not as a right, but as a duty to bear arms. The duty to keep and bear arms, which we talk about from the scriptural perspective, because there are many passages in the Bible that lend themselves toward a duty to be armed and ready for war to fight against the enemies of the Lord. Okay? And we find that throughout the Old Testament. And I think you have to consider that before you get to the New Testament, where Jesus says, "He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." But again, we go over all that in the CD. But it seems like the beginnings of this, for English-speaking people, begin really with Alfred, with King Alfred, because of what he did and what he did to protect his kingdom, so that once he finally kicked the marauders out, the Vikings, once he got them out, finally, to make sure they could not come back, he wanted the common men armed and ready. And so this seems to be behind a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And then what happens is, because of the Reformation and then the Counter-Reformation, the Jesuits are raising up these mobs to go around slaughtering the Protestants. And the tactic that they employed, brethren, and I've now found the historic evidence that I suspect would lay the groundwork for what would come after. And what happened in Northern Ireland was the people were disarmed first, and then you had the Irish massacre where the Protestants were killed by the thousands. But they were disarmed first. And so this becomes decades later when you get to King James II and the Protestants are being disarmed in England. This is what raised the alarm because they remembered what had happened in Northern Ireland. But anyway, we go over all of that in the audio CD. Okay, so back to King Alfred the Great. Alfred the Great is also called the father of the English Navy because he is the one who recognized the Vikings were coming in on these ships, and he recognized that to stop them, they needed to develop a navy so they could go out and intercept their boats before they ever hit the shoreline. And once they learned how to do this, they were able to stop the invasions of their coastline by having a capable navy to go out there and fight them. Alfred also instilled, and this is from Dr. Hammond, Alfred also instilled a great respect for law and order in his kingdom, and it was said that a traveler might hang a valuable jewel on a bush by the roadside and nobody would dare touch it. Alfred brought scholars from Europe in order to help educate his people. He was determined to give his nation a stable system of laws based upon God's law. All right, and here's another quote that I like very much it has to do with the fact that Alfred set forth public education, a plan for the general education of the people, and that he donated much of his personal income for church schools. Quote, Alfred taught that for a kingdom to be effective, it needed men of prayer, men of war, and men of work. Alfred insisted that his nobles learn to read and learn the great history and heritage of Christendom. Learn the history and heritage of Christendom. We're going to do a show, brethren. Probably the next show that I do will be on what Martin Luther said about the importance of learning history for Christian people. I believe this is so very important. Karl Marx obviously believed it was very important. He believed that rewriting the history books could undermine a nation. And of course, I believe he's right. Right now, what's happening to Western Europe is because their history books have been rewritten and they've been taught that European people are these horrible, bigoted racists and all this other kind of stuff. They're ready to just throw in the towel and not even bother to fight for Western civilization. Many of them. Thankfully, there are some who are standing up and who are fighting even now. All right, and one more quote. I like this one, that Alfred, quote, entrenched and enforced the law of God as the common law of England. And the rest, as they say, is history. All right, brethren, we are out of time. We're going to stop it there. That's our show, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.